Hello and welcome to another edition of the Ice World podcast with me, marine biologist Nadia Frontier, featuring conversations I recorded in Antarctica whilst working with the British Antarctic Survey. Just a quick note, I'm recording the supplementary audio to the episode live on a ship whilst travelling back from South Georgia to the Falkland Islands. So apologies for the audio quality and the background noise of a rolling ship. It felt totally surreal leaving South Georgia as piles of snow filled the station and I said goodbye to the last remaining king penguin chick on the station and a fabulous team. We're leaving the present and travelling back to 2021 where we meet Jack Gordon and Mike Lindsall, the two dive officers stationed at Rothera at the time of recording. Jack was on his seventh contract. Yeah, that's right, his seventh contract in Antarctica, and he just cannot seem to stay away. In contrast, Mike was experiencing his first winter on station. Both have a huge responsibility in keeping everyone safe on dives above and below the water. Preparation can take hours for just 20 minutes of dive time, but it's that expertise that keeps us safe and allows scientists like me to be able to focus on our research. Jack and Mike both worked with me in the marine team, and it was great to liaise with them every day about the science projects and objectives we wanted to achieve. Jack was a great dive buddy, accompanying me on some very cold dives as he diligently watched the space around us for leopard seals, whilst I worked away setting up experiments and collecting samples on the seafloor. It was great to talk to Mike on topside via the through water communications, where I could relay science-related information and keep him updated with my air pressures. I remember he was so good with me on one dive when I came to the surface and had a bit of a meltdown as I was suffering with extreme hot aches that almost made me cry as my hands rewarmed. Jack and Mike were instrumental in helping our 2021 marine team be so productive with a constant can-do attitude.
Can you introduce yourself? Tell me a bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Jack Gordon. I am one of the field diving officers here at Rothera Research Station. This is my, this will be my seventh season in Antarctica.
Seventh season. And your first winter?
Just at the end of my first winter, yeah.
So what year did you start with the British Antarctic Survey?
It was 2015. I came down as a station support assistant.
And what did your job at Halley involve?
So I was a station support assistant for the relocation. So again, just doing domestic sort of cleaning duties. And then I went back the following summer, which was Halley's first time it was opened after it had been shut down for its winter because of the Halloween crack. Mm-hmm. And I was a station's general assistant.
So that was your first time as the GA role?
Yeah, that's my first sort of stint as that.
Did you love it because you got to spend a lot of time?
Yeah, it was great.
Practically outside?
Yeah, being a GA, you're outside almost 99% of the time. So it's really good.
And Emperor penguins, did you see any at home?
I unfortunately didn't see any emperors.
At all?
Yeah, some of the photos are pretty cool. I have seen an emperor penguin, but not Halley. Where did I see one? Actually, my first ever penguin I seen was here, and that was an emperor penguin.
It was your first ever, even before a daily penguin.
Yeah. It was round the point. Someone was like, "There's an emperor penguin," and
because they're so rare here. Yeah. I mean, we haven't actually had a sighting this winter.
Yeah, but I don't think there has been in a while, actually. But then, strangely enough, about a month later, we had four come outside New Bransfield House, our dining facility.
Wow.
Yeah.
Four emperor penguins at Rothera.
Yeah.
That's really
weird.
How did you kind of get into going to Antarctica? Like, what line of career did you pursue after leaving school?
So I left school. I did pretty well in school, to be fair, but I never was really interested in going to university or college. I applied for BAS. I got interviewed, but I never got the job.
Oh, you did?
No. And I got a phone call so I got interviewed in June, didn't get it. In September, he phoned me up and said, would you still be interested in going to Antarctica? I was like, yeah, I'll come to it. So it was great. So I handed him a notice in. And
was it a really quick turnaround from getting notified to getting a job?
I think I got 10 days. I got told to come to Cambridge, get my kit bag, and then I had a quick chat with Dave Wattam, who was station ops manager at the time, and said, right, see you at Rothera. You leave in 10 days. Be at Heathrow in 10 days.
That must have been such a whirlwind.
Yeah, it was.
Do you remember what your first impressions were like of Antarctica?
Amazing, yeah. We arrived nearly 6 years ago, actually. It was like the 19th of October or something. Blue skies, you know, when it just a dingle day. I just remember going, whoa, like, me, it was me and another guy that was an Irish guy. We're the only new people on the dash, our plane. And yeah, we were just like, no, like, oh my God, this place is insane. It was funny. I didn't really know anything about Rovere. There was still sea ice everywhere. I didn't know it was sea ice. I thought it was land. And then it broke away and I was like, we're on the coast. I had no idea. Yeah.
You had no idea that Rovere was on the coast. I guess you didn't have that much time to familiarise yourself with.
No, it was honestly like
so sudden.
Thrown straight in the deep end. Yeah. I had no idea what I was coming into.
What are you missing the most from that game?
I don't know, actually. Probably just some certain freedoms. Not that we're not free here, but just being able to go to the supermarket and buy what you want to cook and eat and have that. Why are you just going for a pint with your friends and catching up, stuff like that? Well, I do actually enjoy my short commute.
Oh, gee. Yeah,
absolutely.
So what does your current role of a diving officer entail?
So scientists come to me with requirements for sort of the dives that they want to do, for collecting species or stuff, doing survey work. I take that information and I plan a dive around that using our dive tables. So we make sure we're doing it safely and we've got enough time. And we do no decompression diving here. That's BASS policy. So we make sure that everything falls into BASS policy and everything's safe and adheres to HSE guidelines.
And is this your first? So you've got a joint position of two diving officers, which is quite rare.
Yeah.
Is this your first time of acting as a supervisor?
Yeah.
And taking on this responsibility?
Yeah, so back home, I'm just a diver. The lesson we're learning here is things can change very, very, very quickly here. And you can kind of get lured into a false sense of security. We were on a dive and it was dingle day, blue. It was like blue skies, completely calm like a pond. And then like instantly blizzard, 30 plus knot winds from a pretty much unknown direction usually. And we were in this little bay and it was full of icebergs. And we are our prevailing winds to the north, so it usually pushes them ashore. And this time it was from the south, so it started pushing everything offshore. So we acted quickly, got the divers out, and it was fine.
And what aspect of diving here do you find the most different, or something that you've had to adapt to the most compared to back home?
Probably the cold, to be honest. I mean, in the winter, we're what, -1.8? Just being cold on a dive, something I'm not too used to. I'm usually, when I'm working back home, you got a job to do and you're busy. You don't really get cold very often unless you're doing like a survey. So yeah, getting used to that. Also getting used to scuba again.
Oh yeah, of course. Because so you're a diver with those traditional.
Yeah, so we use Kirby hats. Morgan surface applied helmets, which I'm predominantly used to. I did do some scuba work in the years past, but coming back to that was getting used to that again. But yeah, it's fine. It's going so good.
And what's it like having a surface supply helmet on your head? Because I've often seen photos of it and I think it must be so heavy.
When you first put it on, it is quite heavy if you're not used to it. But once you're underwater, the weight kind of comes off your head anyway. So it's actually quite comfortable. You've also got good comms on them as well most of the time.
Always.
Which is really good. And the speakers are inside the helmet, so you can hear really well, even. Because traditionally with scuba, you've got a hood on, and sometimes it can be hard to hear. But I will say, like, if you're not used to it, after your first few dives, you have a sore neck.
You're not surprised. Really sore neck. And you've got this umbilical, like something that's just delivering you oxygen. That must be quite...
Yeah,
so you've just got to make sure that doesn't fail.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the umbilicals themselves are pretty bomb-proof. They've got thick armour cables on them, and they're all wrapped together, sort of like in one cable will be wrapped around the other, and vice versa, so it's actually really strong and you can pull someone up with it.
Oh, really, okay, because it's so sturdy. Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite memory from the winter?
Probably my winter trip. So yeah, as much as I do moan about living in a tent, you just can't. There's no money in the world that can get that sort of experience. So but the second one I had, I was -35, maybe closer to -40. I went up, we walked up a hill and I had like one of the big, big down jackets on, along with everything else. I remember just sweating so much. It was just so warm, but you didn't have a choice because it was just so cold.
You just have to survive.
I remember using this the snowmobile exhaust to defrost my goggles because they froze solid. Yeah, it was that cold.
Really?
Yeah. It's not fun for very long. It does get very cold. And if you don't do something about it quickly, you can be in some serious trouble.
And since being here, have you learned any new skills?
Actually, baking.
Baking? Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, let's talk about your baking because, of course, that is glaringly obvious one. You have become a chef.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, passed the test.
What's the best thing you made?
So I was on nights and, you know, I find it quite boring sometimes. So I was like, you know, I've got this. You've got this full professional kitchen to use. So you might as well, you know, see what you can do.
Make the most of it.
So I started off, what was the first thing? I think it was cheese scones, which were a massive hit. I think I made 24 one night and I came in the next day and they were all gone.
I think they've got eaten by lunch.
Yeah. What else did I just, I made my first cake as well. I made a chocolate fudge cake, which went down really well.
Good. And that was your first cake ever? Yeah. You've never made a birthday cake?
Nope, never made a cake.
Jack.
Mm-hmm. Made some breads. I made some ale breads, which was really good. I tried making normal bread. I'm not very good at it at the moment.
Cider bread.
Yeah. I did cookies, the brownies.
Yeah.
Sausage rolls, did them.
Halloumi rolls.
Yeah.
Everything. So do you think that cooking is something you'll continue when you go back home?
Yeah, I'll probably give it a shot.
And what do you think it is that draws you the most to Antarctica? Like, what makes you keep wanting to come back?
I ask myself this all the time, actually. I'll come down here. Well, this is the longest I've been down here so far, but it's usually about 6 months. And by 5.5 months, I'm like, I really just want to go home. You go home and within a week, 2 weeks, you're like, I just kind of want to be back. Yeah, so something about this place, it just gets under your skin.
Do you think you'll come back?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. As much as I do like being the die officer, I feel like I've seen everything that I want to see. So I'd probably go back to being a general assistant. Maybe try go back to Halley, actually. And I'd like to see that one more time.
That's nice to have that.
Or even just some of this island stations, maybe King Edward Point, maybe one day.
What are you going to do when you get home?
I'd quite like to visit like Canada or the States. I've not really done much around that side of the world, so that'd be good. Yeah, just see like Vancouver or New York and maybe California, some stuff like that. Have a few weeks to myself to get back into the swing of normal civilization. It's not too bad, but I suppose it depends on who you are. And yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. How long you've been here. Great. Well, thanks so much, Jack, for talking to me.
No worries, Nadia. Thanks for having me on.
Jack and Mike are both commercial divers, sometimes working together on civil engineering projects in the UK and Hong Kong. Jack, however, as you heard, is still hanging on to Halley and will be returning for his 9th season with Bass. Good luck, Jack. You are properly addicted to Antarctica.
So, Mike, thank you very much for joining me here today.
Thank you for having me, Nadia.
So you're a field diving officer here at the Bonner Laboratory. Can you tell me a bit about what you do?
So basically, I'm in charge of making sure the scientists are safe when they do their diving experiments here in Antarctica.
And how did you get into such a role?
Interesting story, actually. I helped a former operations manager here to become a commercial diver so that he could dive here. You have to have certain specific certificates to do diving here. So I taught him. Became quite good friends with him, and then I then started to consult for Bass, being their diving auditor. So I came here in 2016 and audited the diving operations here, and have since then been a consultant for Bass, doing their interviews for the diving officer and carrying out their pre-deployment training for all of the people that come here.
You've done all the kind of paperwork and the training behind it, but to be here for such a long stint, mm-hmm. What's it like?
It's an interesting place to live, isn't it? It's a bit like Big Brother. 23 people here, that's the way I liken it. And it makes you find out who you are, and it makes you understand other people and the way that group dynamics work. I think that's quite interesting. So it's not just about your job here, it's about the way that we live together as a small group of people.
What's your biggest challenge?
Challenge here? My background is extensive and I can understand and maybe see things that other people can't. We also have very specific rules here, which we can, which we have to adhere to, and some other rules which we have discretion over. So it's identifying what we have discretion over and what we absolutely have no control over, and following those rules because we are here on our own. I always say every day is a dive day. Every day is a dive day. But if we can't go out, there's a good reason why we can't go out.
So when you get back to the real world, mm-hmm. which hopefully will be in a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. what are you most looking forward to?
Seeing my daughter. So I want fresh vegetables, fresh broccoli, and fresh dairy.
Yeah. Fresh dairy.
Fresh dairy product, milk. You know?
And then you'll go back to running your own businesses. So how many businesses do you have? What is your background?
My main business is a boatyard ferry company, and tied into that is a diving business and diver training. So I do marine based activities. That's my bag.
In addition to that, you're also a commercial diver.
Yeah, practicing commercial diver. Yeah,
on various projects
within industry. Yeah, absolutely. In many things. Construction. Sustainable energy, anything underwater. I do a few movies as well.
That's really cool. Mm. Really cool. And any other filming?
Yeah, I've done 3 movies now, and some TV, European TV adverts and stuff like that.
So you've been a professional diver for 20 years, and then prior to that, had you done
recreational diving? When I was younger. Yeah, I think my first dive was in 92. So decided to get trained properly. Was actually quite good at it, which was great, and quite adaptable to different situations in water.
How does your role as a diving officer in Antarctica compare to your past job experiences?
I could say it's easy. It's quite relaxed here, if I'm honest. It is relaxed. There is no commercial pressure here to achieve, and that's something that's really important. But I think that's also to do with the fact of where we are, because of the implications of where we are.
The amount of constraints that we have. Absolutely,
and they're there for a reason as well. So let's just keep it safe and make sure that we adhere to rules that are there for a reason and keep people safe. For me, I like results, so that's how I would judge things. And it's really interesting because only very recently we had a dive, which the guys who dived it thought was very straightforward. And I came up and afterwards I said to them, that was the most successful dive we've had here. And they were looking at me quite confused. I said, well, because we achieved about 6 different elements on one dive that we haven't been able to achieve before. Having a dive here or being able to dive here, the diving part's easy.
Mm.
It's all of the other bits.
Cold.
The cold, in terms of the diving itself,
that is the thing that limits you. It's not always the bottom time, but you can be too cold to near your hands.
Yeah, the last dive I did, I was here, my hands were too cold. That was it. I'd had enough.
Yeah.
And then they're not working properly to get out. So, it's tough.
That's something you've definitely got to be aware of. And you've got to be even more vigilant of potentially seeing a seal.
Yeah, there are things here that will eat you. Yeah. And that's what we have to be careful of. And it's very easy to forget that because at home, it's not like that.
And how do you deal with the cold? When you're out on the boat all the time and have you found any strategies to cope with
moan a lot.
The cold?
It generally,
it helps.
Yeah, if you moan a lot.
Generates enough energy to keep you warm.
No, it's being prepared, isn't it? It's making sure that you've got the right equipment on and you bring the right gloves and you bring spare gloves, because if your hands get wet then it's too cold. Making sure you've got goggles, making sure you've got a face mask, because the wind will cut through you quite quickly.
It's kind of mind-boggling, the logistics that you have to go through.
You have to look outside now and the snow is higher than the roof.
Exactly.
So it's what, 20 feet tall?
Yeah, and on average we spend 5 hours preparing for a 20 minute dive. Have you learned any skills since being here?
Yes, I have actually. I learnt how to weld cutlery.
Oh, go on. Tell us about your winter gift.
So I made a couple of birds out of spoons and forks and knives. So I welded them together and made 2 sculptures and mounted it on a plaque for one of the other guys here.
Were you sitting eating a meal and then you thought about the shape of a bird, like the forked tail?
The hardest thing with a winter gift is actually coming up with an idea.
Mm.
So I tried to think of what we had available on station that if I took it or used it, it wouldn't have much of an impact.
Would you come back?
Yes, I would. I wouldn't winter because not because I don't want to. I think because of the way my life is, it doesn't support that. I would come back in a supportive role in the summer for a few months, three or four months, in the core summer months, which I think benefits of that would be quite good because it means we could achieve an awful lot.
Yeah,
and that's productivity during the summer, I think, is massively important. We've achieved an awful lot this last winter, awful lot. In fact, more than we've ever done before. Having said that, it's still not a massive amount. I think since I've been here, we've done about 70 dives.
Okay, and finally, what will you take away from Antarctica?
Ooh, good question. I'll take friendship away from Antarctica. I'll take experience, particularly, another one of my phrases would be people pay for this stuff, which we now take for granted, which most people on the planet would pay to do.
Like seeing a penguin jump off an
iceberg. Love penguins. I mean, they're smelly. However, really cool.
Yeah.
I do like a penguin. Yeah, they're really cool. And they'll, you know, you sit down here in the office and half a dozen will just walk past your window. We are very lucky to be able to do what we do here.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome, Nadia.
People of all backgrounds and experiences find their way to Antarctica, so perhaps your skills might be relevant to you. It is rewarding and unique, so do check out the job section of the British Antarctic Survey's website, where opening at the many bases are posted regularly. See if something maybe catches your eye. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please do tell people and take some time to write a review. It really does help us spread the word. Next time, I'll be talking to Ashley Shin, the mechanical technician, also known as plumber, with an episode that I recently recorded at King Edward Point. I'm Nadia Frontier, and thank you very much for listening.